Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Welcome to The Vocal Minority, with Nick and Steve broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform. You all have joined us just in time for our political week in review. Keep in mind, champions, this is all need-to-know news. News you need to know. It's been another wild boar of a week, oink oink. So hop to it, boys. Let's get this dumpster fire under control before we start our weekend.
Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. What up, everybody? It's another political week in review with your favorite podcast forthcoming.
Oh, is our favorite podcast coming on next? That's cool. Oh, that's us.
It's dude. Come on. Quit jacking
Isn't
around.
Isn't that a little self-centered to call ourselves our favorite? Although it's a fair statement, I think.
I would assume if people are tuned in live on Really American, like we're at least in the top five. Do you want me to amend what I said?
Yeah, top five shows airing live right now on Really American. We're definitely one of them. So, yeah, here we go. It is a Friday. We are live on YouTube here on Really American. And, yeah, your show open is correct. Another dumpster fire of a week. So, here we go.
It's really got me, dude. I mean, I don't know. We talk about this a lot. Like, how does everything that's going on affect your psyche, your emotions and everything? Like, we talk about it because it needs to be discussed. But I don't know. This week got me, dude. I mean, I just felt like ultimate amount of depression, anxiety.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it got me. So, yeah, I don't know.
More so than usual? Anything in particular? Are we getting there? Are you just teasing me?
No, I mean, I'm not teasing you. I don't know. I think my walls just fell down a little bit. It's like Don the Con building that big, beautiful wall. Big, beautiful wall. And people get over it sometimes, you know. It's just a wall, for crying out loud. That's how I view my emotions and my anxiety. It's just a wall. People are going to get over it once in a while.
Yeah, but now they're painting it black, much like the Rolling Stones. So you're not getting over that wall now.
No, there's no way you can hardly even see it, dude.
Right. You'll just run right into it. You'll be knocked unconscious. Yeah. And that actually is a funny commentary because I don't know. Like, have you ever gone and touched like black asphalt or a black mailbox in the middle of the day?
Yeah, it's like a skillet, you know. I mean, right. Especially if you live somewhere hot like Texas, you know.
But then have you ever gone back in the middle of the night and touched that same black surface?
No, why?
Because it's not hot anymore. The sun's not out.
Is that why they're painting it black? To make it hot?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't joking. They're literally doing that right now. Christy Noem just did a little photo op of her out there painting the freaking thing black.
I thought it was for DEI, you know? I mean, I didn't think it had a purpose behind it other than they were trying to be inclusive, but silly me.
That is the that's the only black inclusion that will happen in Trump world is painting that stupid fence black. But no, they say it's going to be too hot to climb. And maybe in the middle of the day, that's accurate, except for the massive gaps in the fence or the fact that when the sun goes down, the black paint is no longer hot. So,
and there's also, you know, like we don't talk about tunnels enough. Like I remember for years, the Border Patrol said, oh, these really fascinating, well-built tunnels are everywhere. We discover them. We shut them down. The cartel builds another one, you know? So, yeah, right. I don't know. Good luck with all the black wall stuff. I don't know that it's going to help anything. I thought our it's down to one border crossing, you know? One person's crossed. So why are they continuing?
He said zero people have crossed, which raises an excellent question. Because, yeah, if you've stopped all immigration from coming across, why would you need a wall, period, let alone paint it black, let alone expand it? Like, gee, there seems to be contradictions happening in the Trump, you know, manosphere.
Yeah. Hey, dude, I got this thing called Samsung TV. Have you ever heard of it?
Just like built into your smart TV, you mean?
Yeah, it's built into my smart TV, and it's basically an internet-based app. But it's got like hundreds of channels that are all just free that you can watch. And a lot of them are, you know, I'll give you the example of like Dog the Bounty Hunter, 24/7. So it's just a Dog the Bounty Hunter channel, or it's just
Trump's
an SVU,
though.
Right?
Yeah.
But I'm noticing, I've been watching a little bit of these channels lately, and there's all these commercials with Christy Noem, and they are so, it's her standing at a border with her bulletproof vest and gun and everything else, and she's like, you know, talking about what's going to happen if you come and try and cross our border. You'll get a free expedited flight to a country of our choosing. It is so racially insensitive, and I don't know why I hope for any more, but every time I see it, I'm just jaw-dropped. Like, you sleep at night. It must be medicated, because I don't know how you sleep at night talking to people that way.
Yeah. If I turn myself into ice and say I'm from Mexico, do I get a free trip to Mexico? Is that how this works?
Maybe so, dude. You should try it.
We should try that. See, I'm sure those won't backfire in any way, shape, or form.
So. Right.
Now, listen, I don't know how any of these people sleep, but I do know Kristi Noem sleeps for free. She's staying in some government housing because she claims that the media is harassing her so much that she can't possibly live in her own home or pay rent or anything. So she's living on some base or something, in, you know, government compound.
I'd love to see pictures of it, because I guarantee it's not a shithole. I'm sure it's opulent and nice. You know, it's a beautiful place.
Correct.
So.
I'm sure that picture will be coming soon. She does not seem to want to shy away from any camera ever. So
no,
stay tuned.
She does not. Welcome to the podcast, by the way. The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. We have a webpage, thevocalminority.net. And we also have a comment line. You can call that.
Yeah, go for it. Hey, there's a crap ton of people watching live right now on YouTube. So, hey, it's Friday afternoon. If you're on here, feel free to comment on the messaging. And as possible, we will include you in the fun here. So, yeah, let's get to some news.
All right. Well, I better give that phone number since we announced it. I thought you were going to do that, but you chickened.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm not paying attention.
844-48-VOCAL. Political Week in Review is coming.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Steve Harness.
I'm having a hard time focusing. I have so much orange going on today. It's blinding me.
Yeah, you do have a lot going on. Your shirt's orange, yeah, or red?
It's orange, and it's matching my beautiful Dave Matthews T-shirt that I'm wearing underneath. I get to see Dave next week. I don't know if you're going to see Dave anytime soon, but I get to see him next week.
So. Yes, we're both sporting Dave shirts today, dude.
We are. That's funny. We should be getting some money for this, Dave Matthews Corporation.
Just a free ticket once in a while would be great. So.
Yeah, we've earned it. So, all right, let's get into some actual news here. Boy, there's so many things going on, but I want to start with something I had teased on previous episodes, and one of the short form videos I did here on Really American Media was about these predictions happening, that Hollywood has predicted a lot of the things happening in Trump world, whether it's The Simpsons or Idiocracy or whatever. But on that story, I featured this astrologer who had a prediction about Trump world. And as I said on that video and on the podcast last week, I'm not some astrology guy. I don't know that I'm opposed to it, but I'm not a big, you know, believer in it either.
This is an astrologist? It's not a medium?
No, astrologer. She says she's getting all this from the stars, the maps, the charts, and all that.
Okay.
And she correctly predicted back in 2024 that Joe Biden would drop out of the race. She predicted the day he would drop out on, and she was right. She predicted Kamala would take over and that Trump would win. She predicted all of these things based on how she reads the charts. And this summer, she made a prediction in Rolling Stone magazine that on July 29th and on August 22nd, that things would unravel for Trump in regards to the Epstein scandal. You remember all this?
I do remember, yeah. And I didn't recall that today was the 22nd of August, but...
Oh, yes, it is. Isn't that interesting? So, back on July 29th, for those of you playing along at home, things did unravel for Trump that day. It was the day on Air Force One he did that interview where he admitted that he knew one of the main victims, that Epstein, quote-unquote, stole her from the massage parlor or whatever, the spa at Mar-a-Lago. Yeah. And he contradicted his own timeline. He said that, no, that's when I cut ties with Epstein, even though he said previously that he cut ties several years after that. So things did unravel back on July 29th. But now I've been keeping an eye on August 22nd to see what, if anything, would happen today in regards to Epstein.
Okay. And do you have any great news for us, or is it a bit lackluster?
Well, listen, on the topic of unraveling, I don't know that I was expecting some major thing to just blow up right today. That would have been nice. But one of the headlines on, I think this was the Daily Beast. So you saw that John Bolton got his home raided today by the FBI, right?
Yes, I did.
So the headline, Patel orders Bolton FBI distraction raid on Epstein file release day.
Yes.
Isn't it interesting that August 22nd is the day that some of the files have been released to Congress?
Yeah, I woke up this morning. I saw that headline come up, and it said, "Oh, Mr. John Bolt knew nothing about it. You know, this wasn't planned. Of course, it wasn't. It was a raid, dude. And brought on by the FBI. It is a bit interesting. They said the story I read talked about they were looking for classified documents. You know, right. Going back to the time where Trump had stuff in his bathroom, Biden had stuff in his garage. You know, they want to see what he had. That's why they're doing it, right?
I guess. I mean, that is the case. However, I heard multiple legal experts today say you can't get a current search warrant based on antiquated information. So if you knew that 5 years ago, you know, when he was in Trump world, that he had some, you can't just wait 5 years and then get a judge to sign off. Right. And a judge did sign off on whatever the search warrant was, but what was presented to that judge, we do not know. And I would be amazed if John Bolton was dumb enough to be holding on to something he wasn't supposed to be. I mean, the guy is a career diplomat and knows Trump is gunning for him. But when I first saw that news today, I thought, boy, I wonder if any Epstein stuff was going to happen today, because this would be a good little distraction to start the day off on. I didn't even realize today was the day some of the files have been released, specifically the transcript of the interview with Ghislaine Maxwell. Is that what it is? Yeah. So her transcript was released to Congress today on the same day that we just decided to raid John Bolton's house. And we do have some of the early information off of what's on that transcript.
Ooh, dude, I haven't seen any of this, so, whipping on me.
Yeah, well, this may be more of a case of what isn't there or what she does and does not say. So as the FBI swarmed the home, a former Donald Trump advisor turned fierce critic, John Bolton, the Justice Department was preparing to turn over the first of the Epstein files. So let's see. According to the House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer, the department was to begin turning over documents to the committee today after receiving the subpoena from Congress. It is expected that the committee will release the files to the public, but only after reviewing them for redactions. So the basic gist is that, A, there was no smoking gun in her interview, but she said that she never saw Trump do anything illicit or inappropriate, which to me, that's a very carefully worded thing. Like, I never saw Jeffrey Dahmer eat a human, but there's a lot of evidence to support it. But her statement was, I never saw anything like that.
I suppose that is a careful way to say it. I mean, he was behind closed doors. She knew what he was doing in there, but she didn't see it. I still think that's bullshit. I mean, for as long as she was around and he was around, she had to see something, whether it was, him sitting by the pool with a young girl doing something. I mean, him hanging with a young girl, as far as I'm concerned, is completely nefarious and wrong, right? So right. It doesn't have to be doing the mattress mambo or get naked or anything. Like, let's start. You saw him with younger girls. You know you did. There's pictures
of it. Yes. I mean, she denies that there was ever an official list, which I don't think any of us actually think that somebody sat like Santa Claus and wrote down a list of who's naughty and nice. Like, I think the list is a bit of a euphemism for what names do you know, what documents are there. She's going, nope, never was a list. I never saw Donald Trump do anything. And then unsolicited, she went on a whole thing where she praised him for, it's so impressive that he became president, and I always got along with him so well. Like, she was just licking his nutsack for no reason whatsoever.
Sure.
And, said I never saw anything, and then she magically got transferred to this minimum security prison in Texas where they get all sorts of fringe benefits and perks, and a prison where, by the way, no other sex trafficker has ever been sent to, because sex trafficking does not meet the standard for minimum security prisons.
It's a white collar. This is a white collar prison. I don't even think there's walls or barbed wire around the facility.
No, there literally is not. There's not a fence. People have walked out of that place before.
Yeah.
So I almost wonder if there's going to be a car waiting on the Mexican border one of these days that someone arranges for. But yeah, so the transcript has been released, and I think what it does say says, or maybe what it doesn't say says even more. The fact that she would phrase it so carefully that he didn't, she never saw anything, but boy, is he a great guy, and he's president, and how awesome. And she's openly been trying to solicit a pardon, and we know she's lied under oath a zillion times before, sure. So her credibility is non-existent.
Yes, 100%. Is it your thought that there's no actual list even anywhere? There's no list?
I'm sure there are documents, and I'm sure she knows names. That was the other thing. She did the old, you remember Ronald Reagan, for the Iran-Contra, was just like, I don't recall. Yeah. She started pulling that crap when she was asked, like, what names do you remember? If there was no list, like, she was like, it's been so long. I just really can't recall who these names were, Like, I've done a lot since then. So who can remember the pedophiles I was trafficking kids for? It's a busy life I've led.
All in the name of supposed love for Epstein. Every deep dive story that I've read about this topic has talked a lot about the fact that there is a list, and that was all part of the plan to begin with, that Epstein created this list based off, I will have everyone on this list, and 99.9% of them are very wealthy, under my thumb, because I'll have something on all of them. And I think there was a list. I think there was an actual list that was all written down. I think it was meticulous. I think that's the truth.
Could be. I mean, that's the problem with Epstein somewhat mysteriously dying in jail when he should never have been alone, missing footage and all that stuff. I mean, there's so many shenanigans around all of this that it's hard to believe that there is not something going on there. So, like I said, unraveling, you can take in a lot of ways. So dominoes did start to fall today. Will we know today the true ramifications of it? I don't know. Day's not over yet, but I highly doubt it. Yeah. But the fact that these files were delivered today, the fact that we're already seeing some shadiness going on, the fact that we know she got transferred when she never should have that prison, like, I don't know, August 22nd, some unraveling has occurred. So I don't know if we give the astrologer the win or not, but things did escalate today.
I hear you. We're just going to have to wait and see, dude. You know what I hate about all of this is even if we can sit here and make these assumptions about what was not said, I still feel like I had a slight sexual favor, but I didn't get to finish my job. You know what I mean? Like, all of this just leaves me feeling unsatisfied.
It's a weird metaphor to make or analogy to make for this particular story, but okay, I hear you.
Do you understand what I didn't say with a young person, dude. Get your head out of the gutter.
I was not implying that about you, obviously. I'm just saying we're talking about illicit sex here, and you're making a sexual analogy. So I just want to make sure the audience understands.
Maybe it wasn't my best choice. It just, it's on my mind. It's Friday. You know what I'm saying, dude? I feel unsatisfied about what's happened here. Even if we...
Well, yeah.
I mean, come on. I don't even want to talk about it if there's nothing to satisfy me. I don't want to have it.
Well, that I understand that. But if we all give into that, then the story will die. It's only still relevant because people keep talking about it. Trump would love for this thing to go away. And that poll we read a couple of shows back, 97% of Americans want to know more about this. Yeah. There is not an issue on planet Earth that 97% of people agree on. So we do need to keep it going. I do get that it's unsatisfying, but we got to keep the heat on if we're hoping to make something explode.
There was also that poll, though, that sat right alongside that said like upwards of like 70 some percent of people, even if they found out without a shadow of a doubt that Trump was involved, they would still support him and vote for him. It didn't matter.
Republicans. Yes, 47% of Republicans said that. Yes, yeah. That is true. So yeah, I don't know, we shall see. But as the world turns, we find out a little bit more.
Yes, indeed. All right, well, we'll see if we can credit your astrologist with some fantastic news next week.
How was Nick handling the news?
I'm doing fine.
Where's Nick?
Okay.
You don't seem to be.
I'm fine, dude.
Get over here, Nick.
All right. I want to talk to you about something, Stephen. This is an interesting story all around for me because it has to do with my hometown, and my home state, Seattle, Washington, here we go. This is something that will rock your world, because I know that what do you classify yourself out as when it comes to believing in God? You don't believe in God, but what are you?
I am agnostic. Okay. I'm not an atheist. Atheists believe in nothing. Agnostics just aren't into organized religion, but believe that there probably is something more out there.
Okay. This may be one of the reasons that you sit where you sit, You know, you believe in something, but definitely not organized religion. This is fantastic to think about in a lot of different ways. In Washington State, both the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church have sued Governor Bob Ferguson over a new law. This is Senate Bill 5375. The law requires clergy to report child abuse and molestation, even if they learn about it in the confessional. Okay? This is a 2025 law that was just signed in Washington. Okay?
I'm sorry. So before this, if you admitted to a crime in a confessional, they have to keep that under the
wraps? Private, dude. It's private. You can't talk about it. They've got that confidentiality. So
what a load of bullshit. If I tell my therapist that I'm going to commit a crime, she is legally and ethically required to report that, but priests are not.
I mean, there is some gray areas here. Let's dive into this. The church argues, first and foremost, that this violates religious freedom. Survivors and advocates say it obviously protects abusers. A federal judge has already put the law on hold while the case plays out. So there is some lawful merit. And that's what's interesting about this whole thing, is that you have in our Constitution freedom of religion. Okay.
Sure.
So that makes this really difficult.
You don't have freedom to commit whatever crime you want.
No, you don't, but you don't have to tell people about it if it was exposed in confession.
Right. And by the way, I would assume if this law goes through, people will just stop admitting to crimes in confessionals.
Well, that's also, I mean, the church says that that's one of their worries. But as we've seen, I'm Catholic, dude. I grew up Catholic. I mean, I'm not a hard practicing Catholic at this stage in my life, but, you know, the Catholic Church has done a terrible job with things happening within their own institution and reporting it, okay? I'm trying to be nice here. Okay.
No other institution on planet Earth would have survived the scandal the Catholic Church has gone through. You know, pick a business. If they had hundreds of, you know, child molesters, they'd be out of business.
So the church is saying the seal of confession is absolute, okay? For Catholics and Orthodox, breaking it means excommunication or losing your ministry. Forcing priests to report confession materials is forcing them to betray their faith wholly. That's what the Bible says. So, we have freedom of religion. The church is...
Do we really mean to imply here that God does not want you to tell? If somebody's confessed a crime to you, you're telling me God's like, keep that one to yourself there, Father.
Listen, first of all, I want to state, these aren't my views. I'm going off point, counterpoint of what people are saying. But to your statement there, I mean, some that have an ultimate belief in God may say, yeah, that is right, because God will take care of it on his own. It's not for man to do. We have that seal of confession. I'm not saying that's what I believe.
He'll eventually take care of it.
Okay. But the problem is this absolute secrecy is how obviously these abusers oftentimes slip through. The church has a moving predators around theory instead of protecting children. Why should the state care about more secrecy? So this is being debated in court, and I don't know that it's going to end anytime soon. Bob Ferguson passed this law. So it was already in, but then people started suing him. It started off with the Catholics, I think, back in, I don't know, May. And now the Greek Orthodox Church has come forward, and they've joined the lawsuit. So they're going to be fighting this out for a long time. It seems so simple to me, and I'm sure it does to you, too. Like, yeah, duh. I mean, come on, we're protecting the children here, and you shouldn't be able to do that. But
right. Isn't this what we're all yelling at Trump about?
completely
protecting a pedophile.
Yeah.
And now this is exactly what this your governor is trying to get rid of out of the church. I would think anyone who is suing, you should just look into their background heavily.
Yes. So it's so funny, dude, or not funny. That's the wrong word. It's so strange to me. The church is saying this law unfairly singles out clergy. Other professions keep their privilege, but priests lose it. That is, in itself, religious discrimination. Clergy lost trust, says the advocates, when bishops moved abusers from parish to parish. Trust isn't restored with special protections. It's restored with accountability. So they're going back and forth. But the reason that this has lasted even, you know, more than a second is because it is listed in our Constitution that we have freedom of religion. I automatically thought, like, what if my religion said that it was okay to beat women or, you know, like, to kill people?
Yes. Like, how far do we take freedom of religion? My religion says I'm allowed to take anything from your house I want. So don't come after me. It's religion.
So this is the interesting side of this. The amendment process to all of this, if you wanted to, this should be taken nationwide. I mean, this should be a law for everybody. This shouldn't just be a Seattle thing at this point. But the process and what people worry about, the amendment process, you need two-thirds of both the House and Senate to approve an amendment, or two-thirds of state legislature to call a constitutional convention. They worry about the fact that there's so many diehard religious people, and especially in the Senate, representing people, that this won't pass, that it wouldn't pass.
Listen, it would not surprise me in this country if it did not pass. We do seem to have this over-the-top protection of religion. Even in cases like this where crimes are happening, you're telling someone in the church and you're not going to let them report the crime. You're going to let them keep hurting kids. You're going to let this crime go undetected, unsolved, or whatever else. I don't see how any righteous God could be even somewhat okay with that principle.
Yeah, I mean, it boggles my mind. But it's so interesting because of what's written into the Constitution. I'm going to watch this play out. I mean, you would think that any God-fearing person would say, of course, dude, if somebody says, hey, I molested a kid or I did this to a woman or whatever it may be that's, you know, like that, that they would say, oh, I got to report that. You know, we've seen so many times that, therapists have to report stuff. Teachers have to report stuff, you know, all of that stuff. But this seal is absolute with the confession. With confession, seal is absolute.
Who says it's absolute? The church says that it's absolute.
It's always been that way. And if the majority of America believes in this religion, it's just going to be hard to kick it out, dude. It's going to be hard to get rid of it. But it's such loophole for child predators.
Of course, it's an on-its-face contradiction of what God would want and of what the Constitution allows. Are we saying that, you know, constitutional amendments don't offset each other or one doesn't trump another? You have freedom of speech. I have a Second Amendment right. Can I shoot you then? It's in the Constitution. Stand your ground. I don't like what you said. You came at me. Like, obviously, we can't just say, oh, it's a right. So there's no way to enforce laws around that.
Yeah.
It's absurd, obviously. So I'm curious to see where this goes. But what the holy hell, man?
Right. This is something you never thought about, dude. In today's climate, the idea of 38 states agreeing on anything, especially religion and constitutional rights, is almost unthinkable.
Of course.
So, yeah.
I thought you meant the Washington State Constitution would have to be amended. Like, you know, the actual Constitution's not going to get amended for anything, please. Because, no, 97% of us want to know more about Epstein, but two-thirds of us can't get on any other page. So, no, unless we're putting that in the Constitution.
The United States of America.
37th Amendment. Tell us about the Epstein files.
Right. But the U.S. has 27 amendments in almost 250 years. The last one, 1992, took over 200 years to ratify. So in our lifetime, this definitely won't change. You get it. Oh, boy. You get into thinking about all the stuff that's happening with, we're putting the Ten Commandments in our classrooms. We're going to bring the Bible back into our classrooms. It's happening in Oklahoma. It's happening in other areas. And you just think to yourself, yeah, this will never happen, dude. Kids will just be continued to be abused for at least my lifetime. It's not going to change, which is really sad.
This is, like we talked about last week, freaking Handmaid's Tale bullshit, where we're going to let religion trump laws and basic ethics.
Yeah.
It's absurd. Quick shout out to Angry O'Dadley, Daldy, I don't know, and Mary. Both have contributed money to Really American, listening to us right now.
Love that.
Thank you, guys. Don't contribute to the church, because you don't know what the hell they're going to do with that. So
yeah, the Really American Collection Basket can always use your donations. So
let's start a religion here, man. And in our religion, anyone named Trump goes to jail. It's religious freedom, Nick. I can't stop it. Sorry.
It is. I'll keep you posted on that story, dude, to at least see what happens in Washington. I love Governor Bob Ferguson. I mean, he always seems to be standing up for what's right. He's also a guy that has sued the Trump administration and won several times during his first term, and continues to do that into the 47th president's term. He's being harassed currently by Pam Bondi. He's one of the good guys, and we'll see where this goes. He's going to fight. So
no, it's good. Well, then let's segue to another West Coast governor who is kicking some ass and doing right, and who may be our next president. And at this point, I believe I'm ready to endorse Gavin Newsom for president, because people keep asking, who's it going to be? Is it AOC? Is it Buttigieg? Is it Eric Swalwell? Is it, you know, all the names in the world are being thrown out. Newsom is making quite the power play, and according to new CNN polling out, this thing he is doing where he's trolling Trump on a full-time basis, I know he's got a staff doing it, but please, it's under his edict, and it is working. A week ago, I think it was, maybe 2 weeks ago, no, I'm sorry, I'm reading this wrong, back in June, Democrats were surveyed as to who do you think / want to be the next Democratic candidate. Newsom was number one, but with 11%. In a survey just conducted, he is now up to 24%. So he has more than doubled his support amongst Democrats, and his favorability nationally has also gone up. People are digging what he is doing.
I'll tell you what, dude. I had lunch with my 79-year-old mother earlier in the week, and she, we were just talking general politics. She hates Trump, but we're talking politics, and she said, you know what, Nikki? I would love to see that Gavin Newsom be our next president. I said, wow, that is interesting, because I, too, would like to see that.
Listen, he checks a lot of the boxes that we've been talking about. And to give some quick context before anyone watching us live right now freaks out, Nick and I have become very nervous about having a female be our candidate, just because Hillary Clinton was a completely qualified candidate, lost. Kamala Harris, completely qualified candidate. I know she had a flawed introduction and all that, but lost. And I just don't want to take that gamble next time. Yeah. We need to take back the White House. Now is not the time to be pushing the limits and testing, you know, what middle of nowhere Iowa or upstate Pennsylvania will support. Because there's a reason Joe Biden somehow won in 2020, because places like upstate Pennsylvania will vote for the old white guy, but they won't vote for a young black woman or a Hillary Clinton type. So
no, we voted for both of them, dude. And not only because they were the only choice, we wanted them to become president of the United States of America. We also share the same sentiment, and let me say, we don't agree with it. We share the same sentiment when it comes to like Pete Buttigieg. I said, I think he would make a great president. We cannot get a woman or a homosexual president elected. We can't do it right now. I don't agree with it. I don't like it. It just seems to be the fact, you know.
Correct. Yeah, I hope everyone hears that loud and clear. I would love for a gay minority woman to be the next president, but I also want to win the next election. So the point is, Gavin Newsom is a, you know, middle-aged white guy who is a fighter and who is a smart, intelligent guy. I've been saying since the early 2000s that Gavin Newsom will be president someday, because I've been living in California for all those years.
Yeah.
And I saw him as the mayor of San Francisco and as the, whatever, the assistant governor is said, and as governor for all these years here. The guy is a rising star, and it's why Fox News has been attacking him for years. I mean, they've seen it coming. But yeah, this move he has done of late is freaking brilliant, and it's absolutely hilarious. I mean, the way they're tweeting back at him and these memes of a muscle-bound Gavin Newsom riding a dinosaur or flying an eagle or having Ivanka, you know, drooling over his shoulder or him dancing with Melania, like, and watching Fox News freak out with no self-awareness that right. he's doing what your guy does.
That is the funniest thing, dude. I saw this meme with, you know, a lifted truck and it had flags all over it.
That, yeah,
you know,
Newsom flags.
Newsom and stickers and signs. And the meme just said, like, they have no self-awareness. This is what they look right. like. It is funny to see it on Fox News because they'll read his tweets that are all in caps and, you know, end with thank you for your attention to this matter. And they're all like, he is so childish. Like, knock the all caps things off. That's so out. Like, you have no idea. They really don't recognize that.
I think they do, but they don't want to truly recognize it or accept that, it, you know, what the satire is doing. And even if it wasn't satire, he's doing exactly what your guy is doing. So why is it, if it's insane for Newsom? And one of the Fox News was like, he's the governor of the biggest state in the union, and this is how he behaves? Like, right. Seriously?
Yeah.
I mean, no. So look up. The point just went right over your head, along with the joke. And
completely.
My point, though, on this thing is, though, we do need help. I mean, we have discussed the fact that, you know, Trump's polls are in the toilet and the Republican parties are in the toilet, but so are the Democratic Party. I mean, yeah. The Democrats are not polling very well either.
Right.
And on one level, I get it. We got our asses handed to us. The whole party's been kind of blown up and we're trying to rebuild and reform and decide a strategy for the midterms and for 2028. So I don't expect any Democrat right now to respond favorably in polling.
Right. It worries me, though, Steve, for such a progressive party. It seems like the Democrats are just like sticking with the old of what they thought worked. You know, like the Republicans have become really good at messaging, social media, you know, going on podcasts, doing all this stuff. They're really good at that. And the Democrats have just stayed kind of stagnant with, like, this is what we do. This is how we show that it's great. And it doesn't work anymore.
No, I mean, we need some enthusiasm. And by the way, another shout out to Stephen Leach just donated money listening live right now. So kudos.
We appreciate you, dude.
Here's my point. The Democratic Party is losing registered voters at a remarkable rate, according to a New York Times report published this week. Quote here, I don't want to say the death cycle of the Democratic Party, but there seems to be no end to this, says Michael Purser of the election analysis site Decision Desk HQ. He says there is no silver lining or cavalry coming across the hill. This is a month after month, year after year decline. Between the last two presidential elections, Democrats ceded ground to the Republicans in all 30 states that tabulate voter registration by party. So, you know, some states don't do that, so we may not know.
Right.
The Times noted in the study, using data from the firm L2, the total shift amounted to 4.5 million voters over to the GOP. And, you know, I know this guy says the cavalry's not coming over the hill, but I don't know if that's true, because we do see signs, whether it's AOC, a Bernie Sanders still, or, yes, Gavin Newsom, who is making all of this progress. So, and a lot of people talk about Pete Buttigieg, as they should, smart, intelligent debater. But I am a little worried about the gay guy thing, but more so with Pete Buttigieg and with AOC, they are too young. I don't want them to make the mistake that Obama himself has said he made.
Yeah.
And that was Obama went to Senate and then right to president. And even he said, like, now I'm 50 something and I'm done. Like, I should have stayed in the Congress and then done the Senate, then maybe vice president, then president. So
yeah.
All stars like AOC and Buttigieg, I would rather see them go up the ranks, Congress, Senate, you know, Secretary of State or something, vice president. But either way, we need these stars, and those of us watching this right now and really American, because I know we're all like-minded, like, we got to support this stuff, and we got to stop the pity party, and we need to rally the troops a little more on social media. We need to stop hanging our heads in shame.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. We have to become proud again, because, you know what, if we just get back to the root of all this, like, we know our platform is true and right. We know it's correct. I hate to say this, dude. I sound like such a snob, but we know we have, we're morally superior to this current Republican Party. And I don't know why I even feel bad saying that, because it's the God's honest truth. So, yeah, we do need to stand up and be proud, but we also need action at the same time. And you're talking about Gavin Newsom. He's taking all the some of the same action anyway that the Republican Party is taking, as far as he's going on people's podcasts. He's making the rounds and really trying to get out there and engage with people on a one-on-one level.
Yeah, and he's pushed back on some liberal things. You know, he said a few months back, and it pissed a lot of lefties off, that, you know, hey, maybe the transgender thing, maybe there's a point. Maybe we should be looking at that. Maybe there are some sports that a transgender athlete shouldn't be in. Like, he didn't just take the hard left angle of just everything transgender is fine. He's like, hey, maybe there's something here. Let's talk about it. Yeah. Let's have a discussion.
Yeah.
And he got a lot of grief for going on. Like, I think he went on Steve Bannon's podcast or had Charlie Kirk on or something. Like, have the conversations. We need to get back to an era where we can compromise and at least sit down. Doesn't mean we bend over, but you got to have the conversation. And by the way, just looking on YouTube right now, I mean, there are so many people saying Gavin Newsom. Someone said Newsom Obama 28. Oof. I don't think Obama's eligible for vice president.
Maybe get Michelle. You know, maybe that just means Michelle Obama. That'd be fantastic.
That'd be great. I'm all for it. So, no, I mean, there's a lot of support going on right now for Newsom, and he has raised his awareness by reversing Trump's tactics. Yeah. If he was legitimately putting out these memes like Trump does, I would be embarrassed as hell. But clearly it is satire. Clearly it's getting under their skin. Trump has lashed out. Yeah. Even freaking Kid Rock took the bait this week.
He did?
Because we've all seen... Yes. Have you seen the memes where Kid Rock is, you know, praying over Newsom along with Hulk Hogan?
No.
And yeah, Kid Rock went on. So I didn't endorse Gavin Newsom. I don't know what he's using my image for. Like, way to miss the joke and take the bait, you freaking idiot.
Small mind. Have you yet seen the new ad that Gavin Newsom has posted and is spreading around social media?
No. Okay. Is he riding a dinosaur, I hope?
Here, I'm going to play it for you, okay? Maybe this will get some people on the right bus here, okay?
Okay.
It is a five-alarm fire for democracy in the United States of America. Donald Trump, who's trying to light a torch on democracy, continue to try to rig the election. His agenda's failing. His presidency is failing. He knows the headwinds in a midterm. Now he's dialing up for seats. He called Greg Abbott, who doesn't have the courage, doesn't have the conscience, and he has rolled over, and he said, yes, sir, and. So we have got to step up. We tried to play by a higher set of standards and rules with our independent redistricting, and we believe in that. We are talking about emergency measures to respond to what's happening in Texas, and we will nullify what happens in Texas. We will pick up five seats with the consent of the people, and that's the difference between the approach we're taking and the approach they're taking. Yep. There are no rules for Donald Trump. And this is a serious moment in American history. And so we are here to meet this moment head on. We will not be complicit.
Yep.
God damn right.
Yes. It's really good, dude. And like, even the messaging goes all the way down to people our age. And I showed that to my mom, and she was, you know, like, hey, hooting and hollering. Like, yes, dude, that is where we need to get back to, because that has some Obama feeling to it. That has a message of, you know, hope, and we are going to fight back. We are not going to sit down and take this shit, and it is wrong, and we're going to play the same game they're playing.
Totally. No, we need some Obama energy, and you don't have to be a young, you know, minority to get that. You got to be a fighter. You have to be inspirational. You have to get the troops to rally behind you.
Yeah.
So I find that amazing. And, you know, speaking of Obama, you and I both voted for him. We've praised him a million times over. But I will say the you know, when they go high or when they go low, we go high. That mindset. Sorry. It doesn't work when you have an authoritarian in the White House who is openly not only profiting off the White House, but is trying to rig the next election. This garbage happening in Texas is straight up election interference. This thing he's now going to try to pull off of no more mail-in ballots and no more computerized voting machines, like, these are attempts to rig an election, and we cannot just go high because they're going low. We got to effing fight back, and we need a fighter to do that. Yeah. And Newsom is the only one stepping up who meets all the other qualifications.
Yeah. No, that's the sentiment for the time when Michelle Obama said that, it was perfect for the time. It kind of rubs me the same way as my grandfather used to always tell me, people say nice guys finish last, and it's that same kind of thing. What's wrong with you?
When your grandfather rubbed you the wrong way, he said that nice guys finish last. Like, I don't know. Maybe my head mine's in the gutter this Friday.
Still on the Epstein thing, dude.
You were making a wholesome point there. So please.
Yeah. And now I've lost it. So basically what I'm trying to say is I think that when they go low, we go high had its place in time. It is. We're not playing the same game anymore. At the root of it, I usually don't punch down, but when we're trying to take on the battle of what's happening now, we got to play mano a mano.
Totally. Nope. And people are agreeing on YouTube right now. No more Mr. Nice Guy. The stakes are too high, says Tracy.
Yeah.
Rosemary. Yes. Big thumbs up. It's good to see this sort of feedback happening live on YouTube, support for Gavin, people that are just completely over this. Because, again, you got to start it somewhere, and this is where it will start. Yeah. And the midterms next year, we got a chance to, cut Trump off at the knees.
Yeah.
But it's only going to happen if we keep rallying, keep the momentum going, keep the spotlight on, keep the pressure on. So, on we go.
Steve, I want to take you back to a place that we had a discussion on this podcast, three months ago. It's hard to keep track of time. I was really devastated when Trump came out and said, PBS, you're done. NPR, you're done. Like, no more federal funding. And you didn't seem to give a crap about PBS.
I have a different perspective on it than the average Joe, and I fully acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Should I share it real quick so people don't think I'm an asshole?
I think they'll still think you're an asshole for it, but go ahead.
Listen, I owned and operated two radio stations for 10 years, and they're profitable businesses if you go out and sell advertising like every other media outlet has to. I was never getting subsidies from the government. I was never getting assistance. Like, if PBS, NPR, if those things are so popular, then hire some salespeople and go get Toyota or McDonald's or whoever to sponsor it. If you have a successful media outlet, there's no reason it should go under.
It's non-biased.
Having said that, I get that they didn't see this coming and it's screwing with them, but they should be able to survive. That's my point.
They don't want the bias in it, though. That's why, right? This is
what
just
bias. Have McDonald's sponsor it. Who the what bias is that?
Well, you're limiting yourself. What if people? What now? Vegans don't like you. I mean, this is the point.
Come on,
no, it's the truth, dude. That's why it's publicly funded. Okay.
Bullshit. NPR is hugely popular. In most major cities, NPR is the number one radio station in that city. You can't make you can't profit off of that.
Without offending
you're doing
somebody.
Something wrong.
Not without offending somebody. Well, not without being purchased and bought and paid for. But this is long gone. Yeah. So Republicans obviously on another crusade to save America by cutting PBS funding. Steve is my best friend. He doesn't seem to care. So there's got to be other people out there that don't care.
Listen, I know there's value to them and we shouldn't be messing with something that's not broke. Like, I get that. I'm just saying they should be able to pivot and keep themselves afloat. I have limited sympathy. I spent 10 years doing it.
You need to get a little empathy back in your life, dude. My original point on this, though, is, there's a lot of people, myself included, that grew up not only watching the great lessons of Mr. Rogers, but some of the stuff that obviously played on PBS. There are a lot of marginalized communities where this is the programming that they watch. You said, you know what? This is going to, they should go out and sell it. Well, that's what happened. They've pulled the funding on it, and now there's already being arrangements made to replace that programming, because that was the actual reason why they didn't want to fund PBS. So you want to see what they're going to replace Mr. Rogers, Sesame Street, all that stuff with?
I don't know if I do, but yeah, go ahead.
It's just coming from, this is all coming from Prager U, okay?
Oh, Dennis
Prager. I'm sorry, Mr. Columbus, but I heard at school that you spoiled paradise and you brought slavery and murder to peaceful people.
Leo?
Sorry, it's what I read and heard at school.
Caramba! Those are some accusations. The place I discovered was beautiful, but it wasn't exactly a paradise of civilization, and the native people were far from peaceful.
But you just said the Taino were peaceful.
They pretty much are. But there are other tribes who aren't. The Taino I had met had cuts and scars and bruises all over them. I asked why, and they told me about the Caribs, who are vicious, warring cannibals.
Cannibals? Like they...
eat people. See.
Whoa.
Right? Hey, all the things that are bad in the world I come from, jealousy, lying, murder, war, it all exists in the land I just found, too. But in Europe, we draw the line at things like eating people and human sacrifice. Some of the native folks from where I just left do those things regularly.
This gets
so
bad.
These people in your time who think it was a peaceful paradise are misinformed. Or lying.
Yeah, but what about slavery? You didn't deny that.
Deny? No. Slavery is as old as time and has taken place in every corner of the world. Even amongst the people I just left. Being taken as a slave is better than being killed, no? I don't see the problem.
Well, in our time, maybe slavery is being evil and terrible.
Ah, magnifico. That's wonderful. I am glad humanity has reached such a time. But you said you're from 500 years in the future? How can you come here to the 15th century and judge me by your standards from the 21st century?
Is this making you sick yet?
Yes, yes, it is. And I know what this is, and I know they're trying to replace it with this, but I don't know what to tell you. I mean, A, no one's forced to watch PBS or Sesame Street or whatever it is. But no. Yeah, Dennis Prager is a conservative douchebag who, by the way, failed at radio. So I can see why he's trying to get into this world of just let the government pay me to do my media stuff, because selling ad time is really a big hassle. So yeah. I get it. But yeah, that's obviously straight up propaganda indoctrination garbage.
But you're right. Not everyone has to watch it. But for all these communities that don't have anything else to watch, or that's their main source of viewing, like this is, you're thinking about you and I watching this and being like, ah, that's garbage, you know. But 2-year-old, sit them in front of the TV while you're getting ready for work. 3-year-old, it's the same thing.
I don't know what world that is.
It still happens.
Where is the world in this day and age where somebody only has rabbit ears on a television and that's the only thing they could possibly do? And by the way, if you only have rabbit ears, your local ABC, NBC, CBS will be on there too, and they'll have all their cartoons. Like, I just don't know what world this is where my only option as some poor minority is to watch whatever the government provides. I can't watch anything else. I don't have a smartphone, a tablet, nothing else. I can only watch this propaganda.
Yeah, I don't think you're 100% wrong. I think there are other options out there and other things that are happening on the TV and other choices. But this, even if a million people a year watch this, it's crap, dude. It's propaganda, you know, and it's only going to get worse. This is the one they released to say, like, look how good our programming is going to be.
I mean, jeez. Listen, that is abysmal. It's scary as hell. Like, I don't deny any of that.
Being a slave is better than being killed, no.
Is it? Jeez. Is it, though?
I don't think so.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
But, oh, it's disgusting. Although I did put out a video on Really American Media this week, I did finally explain why Trump is against PBS and Sesame Street. So I've answered that.
Why? Well, tell me. Have I not mentioned it here?
Because Melania had sex with Big Bird. Clearly. Where did Barron Trump come from with all 6'9" of him? There is no tall DNA in Trump's family tree or Melania's, yet somehow his kid that looks nothing like him is 6'9". So my theory is she banged Big Bird. That's why Trump wants to cancel Sesame Street and PBS. That makes way more sense than anything else.
Maybe so. You could be right. Once again, Steve Harness for the win. My God.
Thank you. Yeah. And my 16-year-old son walked in while I was putting that segment together, and he was like, this is really what you do for a living, huh?
Yeah, that's great.
Like, yeah, I'm saving democracy by saying the first lady had sex with Big Bird. You're welcome, America.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
We're going to have to wait and see if, like, we can tell next time we see Barron on TV, are there any feathers poking out of his cuff? You know, like, right. He's got to have something going on.
And I'll tell you, so many of the comments were like, Steve, you're wrong. Like, he looks just like Donald. I don't think he looks just like Donald at freaking all. What are you even talking about?
Who knows, dude? Donald Trump doesn't even look like a person anymore, dude.
No. But just like I said, on basic genealogy, you can have a dominant or recessive gene for height, but Trump's already tall. He's 6'1 or 6'2, he claims. Melania's tall. She's 5'11. So you're telling me they have a recessive gene for super height that has skipped multiple generations, but Barron got it? Hell no. She's banging some Eastern European basketball player or something. Like, it only makes sense that the dad is really tall. That's only the way that could happen. So
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's factual or not, but
it is. Watch the video, God damn it! I included scientific evidence in it.
Okay, I'll watch it.
I did. I'm being serious. I actually did include an expert on genealogy. So
paging Dr. Harness. Paging Dr. Harness.
That's right. But with that, we got to wrap things up.
Well, let's hope next week is better than this week. And I already know it will be because Dave Matthews for you and Dave Matthews for me.
That is true. We both get to see Dave next week. So The sun will come out tomorrow. In the meantime, check out all of our social medias. We're on TikTok, Facebook, Blue Sky. We have our own page on YouTube. And then we're, of course, here on Really American Media on YouTube. So support the cause. And a huge thanks to everyone watching and commenting today. This was a good turnout.
Yeah, and thanks for the donations. It means a lot for the fight, right? The resistance? Yes. We'll see you next time, yo.
This has been another production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Don't forget to check out all the social media, as the boys are on most platforms. Thanks for being part of the resistance, part of the pushback. Champions all around. Good day.